Welcome to the Empathy to Impact podcast brought to you by Inspire Citizens. I'm your host, Scott Jameson. On this podcast, we are going to be diving into the voices and stories of students who own their learning and impact their communities. Happy holidays and welcome to the Empathy to Impact podcast. On our last episode, I was speaking with Larry, Itu, Chinwe, and Anna, who are student leaders on the Social Justice Council at the International School of Dakar in Senegal. If you are new to the podcast and have not had the opportunity to listen to part one, I would encourage you to go back and do that now before continuing with this episode. If you did listen to part one, I am sure that you are inspired by the work these students are doing and are eager to hear the second half of our conversation. I invite you all to join me as we hear more about how these four students are having an impact in their community and making it a safe space for all through their leadership, passion, and perseverance in the diversity, equity, and inclusion work that they're doing at their school. It is our hope that their work might serve as a call to action for you to lead change in your community. With that in mind, let's get back to our conversation. How has the culture of your school changed since you've embarked on this journey?
There's definitely been a more like geared focus for diversity, equity, inclusion. Like there's now a board committee specifically dedicated to these issues. But also I feel like it's created more conversation. Like before this, I didn't feel comfortable sometimes talking to teachers about these difficult issues. But now there's like that open dialogue. A teacher can come up to me or any student really and have these discussions. I can go up to a teacher and maybe correct them, but also have those discussions. And so it's created this like relationship between students and teachers and administration and students that I think is so important, but wasn't there before.
As Chinwe mentioned, it's kind of removed that stigma that people had about DEI or just social justice issues, specifically looking at our context. For example, when we discuss issues about LGBTQ plus topics, prior to this, there was a lot of tension and just negative connotations around the topic. But now, even though there is still like some tension, at least we're able to have honest and transparent discussions where everyone can share their opinions. And yeah, we don't necessarily have to come to a conclusion right then and there, but just being able to have those daily conversations in English class or psychology class,
yeah,
it's been really refreshing.
And also I think the importance of all that is making ISD a safe place for students within Senegal, because I just want to clarify when Anna was saying the tensions and stigmas and negative connotations attached to like the LGBTQ plus movement is because it's actually illegal to be gay in Senegal. So we just want to like within the borders of ISD, create a safe place for students to be who they are.
And also I think this is a flaw in international schools is that there's overconfidence in like the diversity, equity, inclusion. As an international school, we tend to believe that because we have all these nationalities that we are open to everyone, that these discriminations don't happen.
Yeah.
And so just like facing that reality was really powerful. And it also went against the idea that diversity is not just about race, it's about everything. And so just, it's about gender, sexuality, it's about like neurodiversity. Like diversity has many different forms. And so just like getting away from the idea that international schools, we have no faults in that area. And then also just redefining like what diversity means as a whole.
I've had kind of a different experience with teachers. I think mostly just because I don't have that many teachers since I'm doing a new program where I only have 3 IB classes. But I think there's still a lot of discomfort around discussing issues because I think a lot of teachers don't necessarily have the words or knowledge to be able to have those discussions. And I think there's a lot of fear surrounding those discussions because they're afraid of saying the wrong thing or embarrassing themselves, which is something that we still need to work on. And there's other facets of that still need to be addressed. But I think these PDs are one step that we can take, but there's other things as well that we could try to implement and work on with the staff.
It's a journey for sure, I think. And I think part of that is meeting people where they are and just helping them to level up through the work that you're doing. And I think it's fantastic. And I can just kind of feel the passion with all of you. Just to build on a little bit about from what Larry was saying,
When you're working in a difficult area, when you're looking at diversity and inclusion, equity and justice, it's challenging for adults, it's challenging for students, it's challenging for everybody. What challenges have you faced with the work that you were doing at ISD?
It's an uncomfortable discussion. And so there's still like an awkward barrier between teachers and students. But also for me, I felt that within the student body, there's been a disengagement almost. And some students are more passionate than others. And so for me, an obstacle would be just getting more students involved and getting more students to realize that even if you are not directly impacted or affected by these issues, it's still important to talk about them and defend them and bring light to them. And yeah, as I was mentioning, the importance of allyship and just, yeah.
Just to build on what Anna said, yes, student interaction, but then also just where we are currently, like COVID has had a major impact because the messages that we share are vulnerable. So trying to get those messages across whilst socially distancing, saying our PDs on Zoom was difficult, but I think we overcame that.
Yeah, for sure.
The amount of time it takes for change to actually start, because in the beginning of the GSA, one of the things that we really wanted to add to the school was LGBT inclusion in the health curriculum, because that was not there at all. And there were some attempts to include it, but it was always scheduled at the end of the health curriculum. And so sometimes teachers would spend more time on other topics and overlook the topic of LGBT sex education and just LGBT topics in general. It's one of the things that is very much avoided by teachers. And we've been doing this for a long time. And even now, one of the members of the GSA was supposed to have one of these health classes last year, and it didn't happen again. And that stuff is really frustrating because of how much effort and work we put into it, and for it to not come to a positive conclusion as of yet is disheartening.
I'm sure. And when you have all that work going in and you just see that kind of getting derailed by the system, it can be disheartening, but you keep going. And I think that's what's really inspiring. And despite the obstacles, despite you mentioned that in Senegal, LGBTQ plus is illegal. And to be able to create a space that feels safe. Again, the safe is a continuum, and we're moving that needle. So things are feeling safer within that community. And it is a journey as we continue to work and integrate this into the curriculum. We're seeing small steps, but if we keep pushing, we're going to see that more and more. And I think that's really what's amazing is despite the setbacks, the four of you aren't slowing down. You're still continuing to push and push. And that's what we need in the world. Is people who are going to take ownership of this and take action and demand change. It's not okay to continue as we've always done. We've got to be better. And I love that the four of you are championing that in your way, in your school. It's really inspiring.
Thank you.
I know some of them said that it's illegal to be gay, but it's not exactly that. It's a little more vague in the law. Like unnatural acts is what's written as illegal in the law. And so sometimes they like stretch it a little to arrest people and things like that. But a lot of the violence is not from the government necessarily, but more from other people. So Senegalese people who are LGBT face discrimination from other Senegalese people more often than from the government, which is still really horrible. But just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you. And I think it starts with education. That's a great place to fight this battle and getting this into curriculum in schools, getting people to understand, getting people the vocabulary to be allies and getting people involved in making change. It is frustrating when it's slow, but even small steps are something to celebrate. Speaking of that, thinking about all that you've accomplished, I really want to kind of give a shout out to the four of you because you've presented professional development in your school. You've presented your work at international conferences. There's some amazing things happening here. What are you most proud of from the work you've done?
As you've mentioned, we've done a lot of work. For me personally, and I think I might speak for all of us, what I'm most proud of is the recognition that we've received. Proud of the work and how it influenced the community and the teachers, but then also being able to spread the message, because the goal is always to reach as many people as possible. And by being given, as you mentioned, a platform such as international conferences to speak to many heads of departments to basically promote change was what I'm most proud of.
Yeah, and as E2 said, just the support, like the overwhelming support that we've received, and not just those PDs that we did, but just finding ways to keep on spreading our messages, whether it's to other schools or to international conferences, just the agency and the platform that we've been given by other teachers and adults just shows how much impact we've had on them and how much they are also engaged. So it shows us that other people care.
Yeah.
Yeah, and I would say it's like putting student voice in conversations about them that were without them before. And so just like first step was the PD, but then it's like the next step being the recruitment, being like in the safety and health committees, being part of like policy change. We're working towards that. So I'm really proud of what we've done, but just like continuing to have conversations that were previously about students, but including them in it this time.
Yeah, and definitely the next step for the student body would be encouraging engagements for the students, being more active on our council. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's
our future goal.
Yeah, because we're seniors. We're going to be gone in a few months' time next year. So we need to start empowering other students to take
our
mantle,
place.
You know?
And to keep
no
this running.
No one's going to take our place, but take...
to keep this running and to make sure it doesn't die after us.
For me, I think it was mostly just being out and not getting discouraged by anxiety around that, and just being open about my identity. And I think that has empowered other people at this school to be more authentic in how they present themselves at school. And as well as just starting the GSA, that was like a big thing for me, because I didn't really know how to do that. I just started by reaching out to a teacher and asking for advice. And over time, we finally got to a point where we could start having our meetings. And that was something I'm proud of.
As you should be. That's a fantastic accomplishment. All of you, really. And I love how we're talking about getting more students involved, keeping this going after you graduate. So the momentum that you've created continues to roll once you've left ISD. All fantastic stuff. This is a conversation that I'm sure is going to resonate with a lot of people listening. If there's teachers or if there's students who are at other schools and listening to the podcast and don't have a social justice movement or conversations about diversity, equity, inclusion, and justice happening in their school, what's some advice that you might have for those students or teachers to start the conversation?
For students, I think one of the most helpful things is just to find an adult that you trust in your community, and then using them as support to build up the things that you want to achieve. So yeah, just finding someone that you trust and then getting other people into it, your friends, people you know, people in your classes, getting people interested in those topics and getting them into the movement of providing change in school. And then for teachers, I think it's important that students are involved and that it's not just teachers pushing for things, because teachers don't always know what the students need. So just providing spaces for students to voice their opinions and provide them a place to share their feelings around injustices that they have faced at school. And then from there, starting to organize things to create change in the ways that students need and not in the ways that teachers think students need.
And just building off what Larry said, in terms of like teachers promoting DEI, I feel like it's really important that if a teacher has like a question about like difficult issues, that they feel free to talk to students about them and kind of like have those discussions. And so it's like, if you have a question about maybe something you said, maybe you didn't think it was the correct thing to say, talk to students about them. Like, what do they want to see? And then in terms of like students promoting this work, I think social media is a really important or powerful tool because it gives you a platform that you may have not seen before. And so just like start by getting a trusted adult as well, and then just tell your stories. I think stories are really, really powerful and kind of demand that change, really.
Building off of what Chinwe said, just the importance of transparency between teachers and students is really the number one step to start. For me, I feel like for teachers, being an instructor and, you know, a teacher, it's really important to be yourself around your students, mm-hmm. teach them about yourself, your cultural background, just be yourself and be authentic, because as students, we can sense when things are being forced or, you know, you're just trying to not make us like you, but just trying to build that connection with us, but in a not so genuine way. And, you know, we commend you for trying, but like just making sure you're authentic and genuine is really important. And it makes the student feel comfortable around you, which will promote these discussions.
Yeah. And then from me, simply put, would be, we're all going through a human experience. Okay. We need to respect and understand each other. And then for students specifically, I would say my advice would be to recognize the importance of your voice. Your voice matters, and don't let anybody ever tell you it's insignificant. For teachers, would be to listen with understanding.
And for students as well. I will say for students, it's really important to be able to listen to your peers, because we tend to get passionate about these discussions. I know that as seniors, we've had a lot of debates. And I feel like as students and, you know, as just humans in general, we have big egos and we feel the need to always overpower other people's opinions and other people's thoughts. And so if you want to be able to have these discussions, and just know that you don't have to necessarily come to a conclusion, but just hear people out.
Yeah.
And also, I just wanted to add for teachers, not centering yourself in the activism that you do for other people. At the end of the PD, there was one of the teachers that came up and said that he was the homophobic kid in high school and that he really was excited to implement change in his classroom so that his kids wouldn't turn out how he did. And that was a little weird, honestly. But yeah, just not centering yourself and focusing more on creating change rather than apologizing over and over for something that you did before, because that at the end of the day is in the past. And you need to move forward from that and not making it about yourself and about your guilt.
That's fabulous advice and really empowering. So thank you. I believe it was Itu mentioned the desire to maybe connect with other schools and other students. If someone wanted to connect with you, how might they get in touch?
So far, they've been just emailing Dr. Johnson, and then she would, because we were students, we interrupted with our schoolwork. But then personally, email, Instagram.
Yeah. And with that, I guess the idea of Instagram account for our Social Justice Council just sparked. So I think we'll probably create that because, you know, social media is the easy platform. And yeah.
Is there anything else that the four of you would like to add to the conversation before we wrap things up?
So we have a quote that we want people to really keep in mind. So we're going to say it together.
Oh, just say it yourself. It's okay.
Okay. Nothing about us without us is for us.
Yes.
And so that just kind of embodies what we think this work is for students and why we think it's important that a lot of these discussions are student-led.
And also prioritizing students' comfort. Obviously, like activism like this is not always going to be super comfortable. You're having to be vulnerable, but it's also important to take breaks and not to get so worked up into your work that it lowers your mental health and it impacts you in a negative way. It's important sometimes to step back and appreciate the things that you've already done, but still looking forward to doing more in the future.
Awesome. Thank you all so much for taking time out of your busy days as high school students to spend some time with us on the podcast and share the inspirational work that you're engaged in at your school. And I'm excited for the work that has already happened, and I'm excited for the work that's yet to come.
Thank you for having us.
Thank you so much for having us.
If you've enjoyed this episode, let's keep the conversation going on Twitter at @ScottJ_onWheels, or you can find out more about Inspire Citizens on our website, inspirecitizens.org. Thanks for listening.